You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker here, Paul Esposito. Thanks for taking 15 minutes of your busy day to join me. It's good to be back here too in Florida, back behind this microphone after spending about 10 days or so my daughter's wedding, and it's good to be back here. Sorry for repeating that last program, the lukewarm church. Maybe the Lord wanted everyone to hear that again twice, and that's why that repeated all of last week. Here today, new book, we're actually a new chapter, that is chapters 4 and 5 here in today's study, something I just preached on Sunday at Island Community Church. Island is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. We meet Sunday mornings at 10:30. You are invited. We'd love to see you. If you've always wanted to study the book of Revelation, now's a great time. Chapter 4 and 5 here coming up for the rest of this week. Chapter 6, The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, is my sermon this Sunday morning. Love to see you. For more info on this ministry, you can follow us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. Let's see. Also, WGODradio.com is a link on there to the last 8 years worth of preaching and teaching, more on this ministry. And that's about the best ways to get a hold of us. For me, you can write to me, Paul, at WMIEFM.com. Let's get into the word now. This will play the rest of this week, at least Tuesday through Thursday. Yeah, probably Tuesday through Thursday. Friday, we'll be back with the parable of the talents, Matthew chapter 25. Here is part one now of this message, the throne room of God.
We're in Revelation chapter 4. We're done with the church age. Good to be back, believe me. Thoroughly enjoyed preaching through the church age once again. Now, let's try to understand the word of God a little better before we move on. The seven churches. First of all, they were meant to be understood by those to whom the letters were written to, obviously, right? These individual letters, their first understanding is meant to be those that received them. Only common sense would tell you that. Secondly, like all New Testament letters, they're letters full of teachings on who Jesus is, and how to live the Christian life, right? That's what the New Testament is. Who Jesus is, and how do I live the Christian life? Most of Paul's letters are neatly divided right in half. Romans, the first 8 chapters, is who Jesus is. Then a little bit on Israel, and then how to live it. Also Galatians, first who Jesus is, then how to live it. Ephesians, first 3 chapters, who Jesus is, and then how to live it. The book of Colossians, first 2 chapters, who Jesus is, and then how to live it. That's what the New Testament is, right? It's all letters sent to someone else with a lot of information for us to glean out of it. The first 3 chapters of Revelation has as good theology as anything else in the Bible other than the book of Romans. Lastly, something these 7 churches represent the entire church age, if you will. Because for the most part, of what happens now, chapter 4, verse 1, starts with the Greek words meta tauta, which means after this. We also enter into the last division of this letter. Remember, when the Lord Jesus said to John, write down the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Well, now comes the hereafter. Many people think this call upwards is a picture of the rapture. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now after this, metatauta, after this, after what? After the church age. The word church is nowhere else found in the book of Revelation. Ever again while we're in this study. Every week, that's all we've looked at is the church, right? To the messenger of the church at so-and-so, right? Well, now we're done with that. And he says, after this. I've got to assume it's after the church age. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, like a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Again, there's a word, hereafter. This is what takes place hereafter, after the church age is over. And immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. How cool is that? Immediately I was in the Spirit. I wonder what happened. I wonder how that happened. My guess would be that John must have left his body behind and went on a little trip. Who feels like going on a little trip today, huh? Leave your body behind and... which I guess he would have to do in order to see the future. So John was able to travel through time. Sounds like a big deal to us. But I think that God and his angels, when allowed, that is the angels, they can enter into time at any time. Matter of fact, today's text proves exactly that. All right, so John's taken up in the Spirit. And he enters through a door and finds himself standing before a throne. So immediately, verse 2 again, immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardonyx stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. Okay, now the King James and the New King James describes the one seated on the throne. My Bible translation, as well as others, is missing the first half of verse 3, where it says, and he who sat upon it. Meaning, well, I'll read it to you from my translation. It's from the majority text, the majority of all Greek manuscripts in existence. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, now, notice how this changes what it's describing, okay? Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, similar in appearance to a jasper and a sardonyx stone. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Okay, in my translation, what's that describing? The throne. Because that phrase, and one sat upon it, to look was like. With that phrase out of there, it seems like it's describing the one sitting on it. But all depending on which translation is right, this is describing the throne. Again, immediately, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, similar in appearance to a jasper and a sardonyx stone. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones, I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. Now, according to Scofield, in the Scofield Bible, the 24 elders represent the church. He goes on to say, elder, and this is true, elder has great significance to the church. The Greek word, presbyteros. Just like the old joke, what's the only denomination that's going to make it up into heaven? The 24 Presbyterians. around the throne. Presbyteros, what does it mean? Elder. It means old man, ambassador, senior, people of ripe age, experienced people. In the church, presbyteros means pastor and bishop. Verse 5, and from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. You know, sometimes I just want to go back and start teaching the gospel again. Why do I have to explain this, Lord? Seven spirits of God? This requires a lot of study. Listen to this verse out of the Apocrypha, which I think is very significant to help us. This is from a book called Tobit, chapter 12, verse 15. It goes like this. I am the angel Raphael, one of the seven that stand before the throne. Also, the angel Gabriel, when he addressed Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, said, I am Gabriel, stands before the Lord. Implying, it would seem, that he too is of the same privileged group. You read that this seven occurs several times in the book of Revelation. Revelation 1:4, grace to you and peace from him who is and was and is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne. Listen to this key verse, Darren. Hebrews 1:7 says this. Speaking of God, he makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. And again, Revelation 4:5, there were seven lamps before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Revelation 5:6, in the midst of the throne, a lamb standing as if had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the world. And again, Revelation 8:2, I saw seven angels standing in the presence of God. So there's some great commentary on who or what the seven spirits of God are. But don't ask me what it means. Who am I, Moses? Here's another excellent commentary. Seven designations of the Holy Spirit are found in the New Testament. Let's try this on. Number one, the Spirit of Truth. John 16:13. When he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Number two, the Spirit of Holiness. Romans 1:3, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of Holiness.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.